Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Welcome to Dancecast and episode 29. Oh my gosh, we're almost in episode 30. It has been so much fun and so educating for me to talk to people who have been much longer in this field than I have and hear about their thoughts and ways of thinking and doing integrated dance. Talking about education, I'm actually in Atlanta, Georgia, at the VSA Intersection Arts and Special Education Conference. It is a great place that provides professionals in the intersecting fields of arts education and special education the opportunity to share current information in research, practice programs and policy, and serve as the leading catalyst for change. There is several educators, administrations, researchers, teaching artists that share and build new skills and transfer knowledge. We network and ultimately help to shape the best practices improving educational experiences for students with disabilities, learning in and through the arts. And actually, it's very fitting because this episode's guest is Dwayne Schneumann, who first discovered dance in 2002 as a wheelchair athlete looking for a means of cross-training. After taking classes in Tampa, Florida with Asher Dance Eclectic, he discovered a love for movement and creativity he had not previously experienced. Soon after, in 2005, he started Revolutions Dance, an inclusive dance company in Tampa, Florida. Dwayne also holds a degree in exceptional education from the University of South Florida and has worked in public and private schools as a teacher and director. His greatest joy in dance has been incorporating his education background into his dance teaching practice to create dance classes that have a foundation of education pedagogy and universal design for learning and inclusion. Dwayne has worked as a full-time dancer and educator with Revolutions Dance and Axis Dance Company and has been a guest performer with Karen Peterson and Dancers, Young Dance, Siddiqui Konde, and for various independent choreographers. Additionally, with Revolutions Dance, Dwayne's international experiences include bringing dance classes and performances to local disabled and non-disabled communities in China, Russia, Italy, Palestine, and Israel. He's really sweet, positive thinker who brings lots to this field. I hope you enjoy episode 29.
Okay.
Dwayne,
yes.
Welcome to Dancecast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
Me too. So you're back at home at Revolutions in Florida, Tampa, right?
Yes. Yep.
And you guys started Revolutions in 2005.
2005, that's correct.
And you started together with a woman named Amy West.
Yep, Amy West. I worked with Amy for a few years. We started it together. And then a couple years into Revolutions Dance, she left to get a doctor's degree in geology, actually.
Wow.
And so then, yeah. And then I started working more with Marion Baldian, who you might have seen on the website, and Mary Lynn Morris.
Yeah.
Have you met Mary Lynn before?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Yeah. So how did the idea of Revolutions came? How did it start? Where did it? What is the spark for the whole Revolutions?
Well, I was doing wheelchair sports at the time.
Okay.
And I was doing track and field, and I wanted to try some cross training, and someone invited me to take a dance class. So I thought, okay, and the plan really was to cross train in the off season of track and field. And then after the off season, go back to racing. So I took a dance class during the off season and it was really working. I was enjoying it. And the woman I was taking class with wanted to put a performance together. So I just kept dancing and doing a couple performances with her for a few years and never went back to racing. It wasn't like an intentional thing. I never thought I'm not going back to racing. it was just, I just kept dancing and dancing. So I was working with her and a small musical theater company that she had. And I was really interested in doing more dance at that time. And she had more of a musical theater company, and it was great. And I'm super grateful for starting off with her. But, you know, to learn more and to develop more, I had to sort of go off on my own. It's like a musical theater class, like once a week. And so the only option I had at the time, there was no dance for people with disabilities in Tampa. So the only option I had was to start my own dance company, and I didn't know anything about it. And I'd only been dancing for a few years. But Amy was real brilliant to work with, and we sat with some friends and came up with the name Revolutions Dance, and we started from there.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, now, but now you tour, like, internationally teaching in communities and put up professional company performances. You give weekly classes.
Yeah, we have a class in Tampa every Saturday morning with kids. It's an inclusive class. So we have some kids with autism, kids with physical disabilities, and some non-disabled kids, and they all take class together.
Mm. And how long has that been going on?
That class has been going on for 6 or 7 years now.
Wow.
Actually, we started, you know, we started it 10 years ago, and we were just going to places where we thought, like Shriners and different places, to do workshops with the kids and then try to get something regular going. And by the way, let me know if this is too long.
No. I'll just tell you. I love hearing. This is the exact meaning of this podcast.
Okay. So I really wanted to start a children's class. I have a degree in exceptional education. And so I really wanted to sort of take dance and my degree in exceptional education and mix them together. And in the beginning, when we wanted to start a children's class, we were going to like community centers for kids with disabilities or Shriners Hospital to do a workshop or a class and try to get kids involved and parents involved. And so then when we got a studio space and we were started holding weekly classes, no one was really coming to the class. And a friend of mine told me, she danced with Urban Bush Women, and she was dancing with me in the adult professional company here at Revolutions at that time. And she told me, you know what, Dwayne, I think you're just going to have to show up every week and just be in the studio, and eventually people will start coming. And and so that's what I did. I took her advice, and I showed up every week. I went and opened the studio. For a long time, for months, almost a year maybe, you know, kids weren't coming. And I would still, from time to time, go teach a class at this place or that place. And, you know, it rains a lot here in Tampa. And there are days when I would show up and it would be pouring rain. And I would just sit in my car outside the studio and wait. And if somebody pulled up, I was going to, you know, run up in there and open it up. But still, for a while, it didn't really take off. And then a really good challenge and growth thing happened for me that I really enjoyed, even though it was difficult, was one child showed up, and her name was Ruby, and she was, she had CP, but like pretty significant, you know, and she had a hard time pushing her wheelchair. She preferred sort of walking around on her knees. I mean, she couldn't really stand up, but she could walk around on her knees a little bit, and she wasn't very verbal. And for a while, she showed up every Saturday. And so I was like, okay, if Ruby shows up, it's going to be me and Ruby in the studio. Like this, you know, she was like 8 at the time, this 8-year-old girl who can't move around a whole lot of the space and speak a whole lot, but whatever. She showed up, so I showed up. And we just tried different things and moved around, and I kept throwing things at her, and we had fun, and we kept going. And then luckily I was substitute teaching at different schools and some of the special education classrooms. And I met a young girl who uses a wheelchair in one of the classrooms, and she had a sister who was taking dance classes. And she kind of always wanted to dance with her sister, but never was able to. So then I invited her, and so her and her sister came, and it was the three of them and Ruby. I might have a little I might send you a old YouTube clip I think I have of the three of them.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, okay, I'll send it to you. So anyway, yeah, then it was the three of us, and then it started building, and then more and more kids started coming. Once we had some there, I don't know, it sort of took off from there.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. And, holding the space is so important, I feel like, and not just giving up, because I definitely, in Austin with Body Shift, we felt that way for a long time, like consistency. Is that the word?
Yes, the word. Yeah.
And just holding the space is very important.
Yeah, that was one of the lessons I learned for sure.
And so when did you, and how did you end up with Axis? Because now you're splitting your time between Oakland and Tampa.
Yes. So one of the things I did when I wanted to, I really loved Judy at Axis. So one of the things when I was like, okay, I'm going to start dancing and figure this out in Tampa, make this happen in Tampa. I didn't have, like, it wasn't happening here at all, but everybody, you know, the dance community was open. I was showing up at classes and they were open, but I really didn't know too much what to do. And, in that first year that I started Revolutions Dance, there was a presenter in Miami. Her name is Mary Left, and she was bringing Axis there for like a week-long series of workshops and performance. And Mary knew what I was trying to do in Tampa. So she paid for me to come down to Miami. This was probably 2006. And I took that first workshop with Axis and met Judy then. And then over the years, met up with Axis for different workshops from time to time. Judy was always available to me when I needed advice on what to do next or when I was trying to put my first performance together. But I was also trying to start things. And at that time, Judy was also inviting me to come audition and to come join Axis, you know, over those times, every time we met. But at that time, I was starting Revolutions Dance and I was raising two kids. So I kept telling her, like, I can't leave Tampa yet. I'm not ready to leave Tampa yet. And then about 11 years into our relationship like that, she called me up and asked me, she said, we're really stuck. One of our dancers got injured and we're sort of in the middle of the season. And at this point, she gave up, I think, asking me. And she asked me, she was like, do you know anybody? I was like, well, Judy, actually, now the kids are older, Revolutions Dance, I have a nice team. I think I could come and dance with you guys for a year and let's see, you know, and sort of be a bridge until you could find someone else. And so I went there and we all thought it was just going to be a year. But Axis and Judy were so great about allowing me opportunities to continue to work in Tampa and working around that. And so now I'm in my fourth year with Axis and, you know, Mark is there now and he continues to be flexible with me and allow me to do projects back here in Tampa and internationally. When I go international, that's usually with Revolutions Dance. And in fact, the reason I'm here in Tampa rehearsing now is in September, Revolutions Dance and Axis Dance are going to be sharing the stage in an event in Miami.
Oh, so yeah. Moving forward, Forward Motion Festival.
Forward Motion, yes. Yeah. And so I will be dancing with Revolutions Dance in that program and with Axis in that program.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I'm grateful that Axis, it really works out because they're willing to be flexible and let me do both like that.
Yeah. So who is there to really run Revolutions when you're not there? Who is in your team?
Marilyn Morris.
Okay.
Who you know. She teaches the class every morning and kind of runs things. She sort of runs the children's program. Let me say that. So Marilyn Morris is running the children program. And then she gets some projects started here. Like she did a new definition of dance where she brought in artists from different countries.
Yeah.
And then, I just kind of work from.
You work from Oakland. From
Oakland on that. Yeah. She's here on the ground. Anything that needs to be done here, I guess, that actually needs physical a person here to do. She goes to a meeting or whatever, and then she gets in touch with me. And then I make sure from Oakland she has the support, whether it's resources or scheduling or contacting people. So we really work well together like that to keep everything going.
And do you have your own space?
Sort of. I have reliable space. Let me say that.
Yeah.
I have a studio. There's a ballroom dance studio that they're usually using the studio in the evening. So they rent a studio during the daytime anytime I need it for me for real cheap. They're very supportive. And then actually one of our biggest supporters is here at a college in Tampa at Hillsborough Community College. They have a dance program. And the director of that program lets me use studio space here anytime. In fact, she choreographed a duet that I'm going to be performing with Axis.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Let me clarify that for the listeners. She choreographed a piece that I'm going to perform with Revolutions Dance on the night that we share the stage with Axis.
Wow. And you just got back from where? China? No, you were in China last year.
Yeah, I was in China last year, and I just got back from Italy.
And what do you, you work with communities in, you sort of go and give workshops, and do you create performances? How does that work?
Yeah, we've done a lot of different things when we go into these communities, especially Russia and China, where accessibility is really low. I guess that's a good word to use. Yeah. Where accessibility is not really thriving. Yeah. Well, we go in there and we'll do community workshops. Here's, I guess, you know, obviously like a lot of us doing this kind of work, it often has to be tailored for whoever we're going to work with. But it usually comes down to we do community workshops for anybody in the community that wants to come and take the workshops. We go to schools. I've been to orphanages in Russia and a school for kids with autism in China. So we'll go into the schools and do some classes. And then usually we will finish the week or 2 weeks with a performance that we do that also includes the community members that we've been working with.
Oh, I see. So it's a combination of everything.
Yeah, it's a combination of everything. And at times, like I've been to Russia 4 times and they're getting a little used to me. So they actually, when I go there, like, so not only it's becoming not only dance, but like one time I was in Yekaterinburg, Russia, and they were having, the university was having a conference for college professors involved in exceptional education. And so different college professors were speaking about practices or their universities or their programming. So they kind of threw me in there to give a presentation on, you know, my experience in education, in exceptional education here in the States. I also job coach for adults with autism.
Okay.
So another time I got roped into doing a presentation on job coaching for adults with autism. So, it's mostly dance, but I get called up to do some other things as well in the community.
And I've never heard the term exceptional education. Is it a same than special education?
Yeah, exceptional education is kind of a newer term in education.
Okay.
So the degree used to be in special education, which you would get a certificate or a degree in working with students with disabilities.
Okay.
But as time has gone on, you know, we have programs for ESOL kids, English speakers of other languages, or non-English speaking students. And also, you know, advanced, what they call advanced or gifted students.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, that kind of requires. So a movement that's happened over the last few years and what my degree is in, my degree, they taken the term exceptional education because I've been trained to work with students with disabilities. I also have an ESOL certification and I have a certification for gifted and talented students.
And so do you still get to do that job as well at some point? Or does that come through the education part of dance and going to schools, and that's where you utilize it more now?
Well, now that I've been with Axis, because Axis is so busy, between now that I'm going back from California to Tampa, I don't get to really teach, but it does come in handy there, you know, a lot of times for teaching. But before I left for Axis, I was doing a lot of substitute teaching and dancing. And so that's where I was using that degree. But, you know, there's a movement now I'm seeing in dance, and something that which is what I was really interested in when I started our children's program. You know, I said that I really wanted to take my education background and blend it with the dance background. And I see that that's happening a lot now in dance, especially in integrated dance. You know, dance teachers are learning about pedagogy and a lot of education philosophy and blending it in their classrooms. And so that's what I'm really interested in, and stuff we're trying to do in Revolutions Dance Hair as well. I'm working with Mary Lynn on combining those two things.
Yeah, that is, I agree. It is. I love that. I love that collaboration. And because I don't know, in, historically or in the past, and I do feel like it's changing as well, the idea that a dance educator wasn't really an educator. It was just a dancer who made money by teaching dance, but didn't necessarily mean that they knew anything about teaching. And I think that is changing.
Yeah, that is changing. I agree. And I'm really happy to see it changing.
Me too.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, that is so interesting. And how, so you, the most of your travels happened during the summer time, right, with Revolutions?
Yeah, because that's when we get the biggest break from Axis. We get a month off, so I usually schedule them. We have off every July, so okay. I usually schedule them for July.
Okay, I see. Well, that's wonderful that it works so well.
Yeah, it's. I'm very lucky. I'm super grateful, super fortunate.
But I feel, how long are you going to have the energy to jet set between two coasts?
Yeah, people ask me that, and every year I wonder that myself. You know, I'm 49 now, and I turned 50 in November. Woo-hoo! But I still feel, I get so I'm excited. Yeah, I'm actually excited to be 50. I'm not like turning away from it at all. But right now, every year I think like I'm not going to have the energy to do it for one more year, but I do. Yeah, it works out. I think. Also, what helps is the switching. Like every time I come back to Tampa, I'm re-energized. Like it's new and I'm back here with some different people and we're working on a new project. And then I'll go back to Tampa or back to California, you know, and I'm like, oh, now I'm back with Axis. And so that moment is, you know, re-energizes me.
That's probably true. Yeah. And you also work in multi-generational work. Like the video that you sent to me was with seniors. And how's that? Yeah. That was lovely.
I was wondering if you had a chance to check that out.
I did. I watched it.
You know, because that video was only finished very, like, in the last week. And so it came through a perfect time for me to share with you.
Yeah, and it's not open to the public yet, right?
No, not yet. We're going to begin submitting it to film festivals in the fall. And then next year, it'll be a wider release.
So, listeners, you just have to wait and imagine while we talk about it. Life after life.
Yes, life after life. Yeah. It was a project that the filmmaker, he does documentaries. He's a professor of communications here at University of Tampa, but he's also a documentary filmmaker. And they have a dance program, University of Tampa, and the dancers were, the dance program at University of Tampa is really like education based, and I'm really close with the director of that program. And so she does a lot of different things with her dancers, like brings me in every semester to speak and teach a class. Another thing she does is she takes the dancers to an assisted living facility and they teach class there. And so I guess the filmmaker, Christopher, he went one time to film the class, and then he had this idea of getting three of the women that were there and having them work on a more extended sort of program. and he wasn't sure what that was going to be. And we really didn't pigeonhole it into anything. We just said we're going to work with them for 5 days and just have a final presentation and see what comes out of this. And then, as you saw in when you watched the documentary, that it really became about their history, finding their history and finding a way for them to tell their stories and share themselves, through dance and movement.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So is that was a one-time project? Do you have plans to do it again?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping once we start submitting this film, yeah, I would love to do it again. You saw in the video, Marion, who's working with me there. She's another one of our teammates here. It's kind of Marilyn, myself, and Marion. And Marion does those types of projects and does the traveling with me. And Marilyn holds the fort down here in Tampa for us.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful project. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we would love to do more of that. Now that once the film is coming out, and I suppose some of it's going to be about me finding time to I got to organize that and market it on top of, all the other stuff we're doing. So I got to find a way to package that so I can offer it to people. I suppose that's the next thing I need to focus on.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, the university there is really quite exceptional in their thinking of dance and community and who can dance and who is a dancer. Or at least my idea of that department is very like new agey. I don't even know how to call it. Like they, Marilyn is there and like it feels very open-minded as what is dance and who is a dancer. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I'll just clarify some of the different. So I work with Marilyn, but she teaches at University of South Florida.
Oh, so she's not in that. Oh, sorry.
She's not at that university. But however, obviously, Marilyn. She has that same philosophy. Actually, she did teach there many, many years ago. That was her first teaching adjunct job, but then she got a full-time teaching position at University of South Florida.
Okay.
But back up. Yeah, so that's University of Tampa. That's University of Tampa. Susan Taylor Lennon really is, a forward thinker in terms of education and community. She's brought in Urban Bush women to do workshops and, they went over to the nursing home and had a big community performance in a church. Yeah. I was lucky. When I was trying to start dance in Tampa, and, integrated and inclusive dance didn't exist around here. I was lucky that people like Mary Lynn and Susan Taylor Lennon and Christina Acosta at Hillsborough Community College, where I am today, they all think that way. And they were all very open and really all did a lot to help me get revolutions going and to help me formulate my philosophy and understanding of dance and movement.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Cause I'm doing a research right now. Like you received a lot of emails from me lately, about the education, for integrated dance in the US. And I feel like we often, or maybe it's just me, but talk about the places where it's not welcome or where there's like feels like there's a lot of thresholds. But throughout this research, just by thinking who to send the survey to, I have found that there's actually quite a bit. There's like a handful of professors and universities who actually do believe that dance belongs to everybody. So it's so lovely to always hear that there's like popping these universities that are really working towards integrated dance programs.
Yeah, we have three colleges here that have done a lot to help. Like I said, University of Tampa, has that program. Hillsborough Community College here, Christina, the director of this program, lets me use the space, puts me in her student concerts all the time. I teach classes here. She choreographs for us. And then Mary Lynn over at University of South Florida, she is working on a certificate in inclusive dance. So to try and offer students with disabilities to go there and get a certification from the University of South Florida.
Awesome.
And another thing that she has worked on is creating an internship for dance majors to come to our Saturday morning class. And I wish I had more of that information, what was involved in that internship. But so, yeah, so I'm in a community that is really interested in helping out on the university level to create opportunities.
Yeah, because it sounds like you also got a lot of support, like, to figuring it out, and you went to dance classes and tried to, you know, learn, catch up with the rest of the dance world. Because I feel like that's one of the issues in integrated dance, that the education is not there, and then you probably feel like the mountain of learning is so high that, never mind. And then to find the place that welcomes you, never mind.
Yeah, you'll see in the survey, you know, in the beginning, everybody was welcoming, but it was sort of new and they didn't know me. So it was me just, it took a while for them to see that I was around consistently. But you'll see in the survey that, one of the things that I think is needed is like this certification program that Mary Lynn is trying to create at USF. Because when I was starting and I was, you know, taking a class at University of Tampa or a class at USF or a class at a studio, the thing that's missing when someone with a disability is bouncing around like that is like a focused curriculum and a consistent department or person to help you understand what you're learning and to continue building. It's just kind of like piecework, and it's not really, you get what I'm saying.
It's, yeah, not, it's not a whole, like, a coherent
focus.
Yeah. And do you feel
so,
like,
I think that's what we need?
Yeah. And do you feel like the dance field is definitely moving towards that, but it's just not there yet? Or do you feel like it's still like very few pockets, but the general dance field is still in the iffy zone?
I feel like I think this movement of blending education practices and philosophies with dance teaching. So I guess this is what I think is going on. I think there are pockets that are interested in inclusive dance, and there's a broader movement to bring education practices and philosophies into dance training. And I think once that unification happens between dance and education philosophy, then it's going to like really draw in the pockets that are trying to do inclusive dance, because I mean, that goes so well with education philosophies. Educators are not going to forget about disabled students when they start working with dance studios and dance teachers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to see that happen. Let's make it happen.
For sure. Let's do that.
Well, Dwayne, what is your ultimate dream? What, when you now turn 50, what is your ultimate dream? What do you want to see? What do you want to do? What have you not done that you want to do?
My ultimate dream really is to create something here, Revolutions Dance, that can go beyond that. You know, once I'm done or Mary Lynn's done, that it's a program in the community that's continuing and has a variety. It has the working with children who have disabilities, an adult professional company for adults with disabilities, working with, various age groups and really working with USF or helping to create a program that is, you know, a curriculum that is focused and, like we were talking about, that's, you know, allows someone with a disability to get into a real program with some direction and guidance and support. I guess that's a lot or a little. I guess it's one thing. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. It does. That is so lovely. So when are you heading back to Oakland?
In 4 days from now, I go back to Oakland.
All right.
And then so I go back to Oakland, we rehearse, and we're actually coming right here to where I am today. This studio and this theater, Axis is going to do their full show. This isn't the one that Revolutions will be joining them in. So they'll come here in Tampa, do a full-length program residency here at the college, And then we will go to Jacksonville to work with a really big rehab center in Jacksonville. And then we go to Miami. That's all happening in September.
That is a lot.
And don't forget our summer intensive at Axis coming up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is happening in August.
Yes.
That coming was so up real fun. Soon,
where you and I met.
Yes, that was so much fun. And I met so many amazing people there. You're bringing lots of people from different places together.
Yeah, I really love being there. I've talked to Mark a little bit about whenever I am done with Axis, like the possibility of still coming back for summer intensives and teaching or something. Yeah, because that community is really special.
It is really, really great. Well, thank you so much, Dwayne. I'm trying to keep them in 30 minutes, and we are like 30 minutes right now.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's so amazing to watch the revolutions and your work. You're so positive and so amazing, and you just radiate this like happiness and like this openness and this like possibility so much to people around you. And I feel like the dance field needs that kind of energy so much. And I'm so grateful that you're in it and doing it.
I don't know what to say, but thank you. I appreciate that.